your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Merry Meet, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. My guest tonight is Jordan Hoggard, and his 35-plus year career spans the spectrums of painting, fine arts, architecture, and lifelong tarot reader. He's the creator of the Tarot of the Land of Mysterium. And where is the Land of Mysterium, you ask? Well, it's a place where you can establish harmonious relationships with your ideas and feelings, explore your identity and personality, and guide your intuition. And we're going to be talking about that in just a minute. We're also going to be taking readings. So if anybody would like a reading, just send me a note in the chat room, or better yet, in private, because I might miss it in the chat room. But just let me know if you do. And we're also going to be talking about a few things like Jung and also doodling. And so, you know, we've got a whole lot that we're going to squeeze into one quick hour. So I think we should probably get started, because the last time he was here, which was way back in 2012, I mean, you know, both of us had whiskers. The hour went by so fast that he had to come back the next week or the week after, one of the two, to start finishing that up and talking about what he was really there to talk about. And I think it was Mysterium. So we'll see how that goes tonight. But in the meantime, Jordan, pop in. Welcome back.
Thank you, Marla. Great to be here.
Yeah, well, you know, a little old. I hope you're older and wiser as since the last time, right?
Well, I know I'm older, that's for sure.
Okay, well, good. I like that. So we're gonna do a lot of stuff tonight. As I said, I know two people already want readings, so this is good. And but I want to start out, like I said a minute ago, even though we have so much to cover, I want to talk about Tarot in the Land of Mysterium. I mean, you refer to it as an intuitive imagination primer. And it comes with 78 cards and a 192-page primer book. And that goes far beyond most decks, you know, the little books that go with them. And so much information in there. So talk about Mysterium, because I think that it's a deck that a lot of people should have.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And the interesting thing about Tarot and the Land of Mysterium is that there were enough books on the shelf that were how-to and that were instructional and that treated novice to medium, intermediate to advanced as all different. But the idea came to me when I was teaching an advanced black belt class that I always had my white belts in the black belt class. So people didn't develop bad habits and people just come in and they're themselves, because I find tarot is really to be, it's a tool to of self-discovery and self-development. And in that idea, in that vein, it was simply, I wanted to write a book where I became each card and each card spoke in the first person, like they're in theater on the stage. hurro, I'm the devil. No, not Satan, it's Pan, you know, and go through a whole character and like voice acting in a way, but where the individuation process, the psychological development, using your creativity, your imagination, your actions, and how you put the things you want to do in play would be facilitated by a deck where even in the book I suggest before you read anything in the book, please, you know, take a visual field trip and let your eyes wander around the card and visually let it tell you a story. And from that perspective, then get into the book, and then there's tarot, basically short stories of the cards actually speaking in the first person to you. So that's what the imagination primer, what the kind of the nuts and bolts of the heart of the matter was. But then each card has what I call imagination tools. Mm-hmm. At the end of each double chapter, the two short chapters, one about the card and one where enter the high priestess or enter the empress or enter the emperor. And then that card comes in and speaks. And at the end, they give you gifts in the form of imagination tools. And they're tools that are creative prompters or imagination triggers to then meditate on, and with the card in mind, allow the card's theme of what it gave you to enhance how you use your imagination and your intuition, which I firmly feel is a muscle. I mean, use it or lose it, and you don't sit on the couch and all of a sudden have a, you know, psychic streak of inspiration. Inspiration to me always comes when you're working. So working with the deck and working with the book, and mostly we're just working with yourself. You can teach yourself, and poetically, I think, grow. And kind of, it's a nutshell, if that's a decent enough intro about Mysterium.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And like you said, when the cards start speaking, that's the fun part. Like today, I pulled up just a card just to see, and I got the Queen of Pentacles. And it was, there was so much information there that I've never heard about that card. You know, not only when the card was speaking, but just the whole reading was different. The interpretation was completely different than all of them, because most tarots pretty much have the same thing. And here's something that you and I were talking about. Like, we, you know, let's pick a card. Let's talk about the Tower, where everybody thinks that that's a horrible card because it's shaking up your life and it's coming out of nowhere and people are falling out of the buildings and all that. But your take on that wasn't that it is such a terrible card, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, I find it to be, there's world altering, you know, A-L-T-E-R. Your whole world's turned upside down like a pond turning over. It's stinky, gaseous, noxious. It's a total pain. It's difficult. It's, you feel under duress. There's also, to me, the concept I like of getting T-boned by beauty. And from that perspective, I look at it as world altering, A-L-T-A-R-I-N-G, because I feel it can be just as traumatic, and know from direct experience that it's just as traumatic when things fall together for the first time, because you've never experienced it before. So you're literally surprised. And in that surprise, you almost can't accept it in a way. And what's interesting to me is you do accept it, but you have to acclimate, like with any other trauma, except the world alter, A-L-T-R-I-N-G, altering, becomes, your whole life is anew. Your whole life is a whole nother place. And things actually, if you see the picture I just posted, has the Temple Regalera in Portugal, Central Portugal, which is a tarot initiation well. So it's an inverted tower, a tower that's cut into the earth. And to me, there's that down going. That going inside yourself, into the unconscious, instincts, intuition, imagination. And in that case, I look at, as I put in here, the Star, the Tower, and the High Priestess cards on that attachment that I just went in. it becomes then your crown chakra is kind of like an oculus or a window from inside. You're looking up and out at new light coming in. So that tower really is like hatching from an egg. You're blasting out from within to renew and frankly simplify. And the High Priestess card there to me is kind of indicative visually in Tarot and the Land of Mysterium there on the left of that image in the chat room of this experience where you see her hands fully planted in the earth as if lava comes up from the earth as her blood, her life force, the life of Gaia. And then she's there, heartfelt, fully present, arms raised, drawing down the moon with then an out-of-body experience, lifting up from the top, from the crown chakra, to the moon, very viscerally, all at the same time. So she's not out-of-body, she's just more hyper-aware and environmentally sensitive, especially to what's inside. And thank you, MJ Sky, or MJ Ski, for that. That is beautiful accolade in the chat room. Thank you so much. But so that High Priestess to me is kind of an inroad thought process because not a whole lot of people don't like the High Priestess. They're like, yeah, she's wicked cool. But a lot of people like to hate on the Tower card because they're just like, wow, that sounds like a hassle. Well, a lot of work is a hassle. But until you get going and you get a rhythm and then it's creation and you're building things. So what's your take on the Tower in regards to how it can become a good card?
Well, I think it's because I think the universe gives you a chance to fix things that need fixing. But I think the Tower card comes up when you need to really, really, really do something and you haven't. So it's going to take over and say, hey, wake up, you know. So, and that's positive because it's going to be a good thing for you. If you hadn't acted on whatever needed to be acted on, you might be in a really bad place. So I think the Tower card is the last resort and helpful and kind of keeping you safe.
That's a great way to put it because it's a big cosmic capital N nudge. Like, excuse me, are you missing something? Are you forgetting to do something here? And it kind of, I think it's good to get you back on track or to get you off the track and, you know, off it to the, you know, the deep nature. So that you kind of blast through your fears and you can kind of nuke being afraid because that's anxiety. Fear to me is awareness. And it's just allowing you to understand like radar. I mean, my joke is that my vanity says I look better with a head than without one. And that's it. It doesn't say anything about my looks. And so, you know, that's the emotion's pretty clear. But my vanity then kicks over to my ego that, hey, look, incoming. And my ego pops up on my radar to me, to my fear, and says, duck. And I keep my head. And, you know, so to me, it's not an egomaniacal or conceited vanity and ego there. They're actually psychological tools, I think, that feed other parts, namely fear and keeping you safe. Or simply understanding the intensity so that you can embrace the suck, so to speak, if you need to, and be comfortable with being uncomfortable, but also be comfortable with the not knowing. So you don't need to have an answer. I think in the Tower too, reasons are unreasonable. That you don't ask if you're in a dangerous situation, you don't ask to get out. You know, you don't call a friend. Right. You know, something bad might happen.
All right. Listen, we've got six lined up already. So can we do some readings, please?
That sounds great. Let me put another picture in and let's get started.
Okay.
I got the Strength card in there as well. She's a fun one.
Yes.
She's similar to the High Priestess, but her arms more in magician posture somewhat. So. And I think the Strength card is about the power of your inner animal voice and being in harmony with that. So I think that's a good card for us to launch into readings with.
All right. Lily, all right, so you're going to pull one card for each person? Is that
I'm going to do what I call my crack the geode technique where I've shuffled and I've been shuffling while we're while we're talking. Uh-huh. And what it is I will just look away from the deck, and with my mm-hmm. thumbs, I will crack up in the deck, and okay. it's like a rough geode of a deck. And then the two cards that are inside there will be those magical crystals where you're like, wow, it's so beautiful inside. So I'll read for those two cards to speak to the reading.
Okay, cool. All right. So first up is Lily.
And Lily, what's your question?
Do you have a question, Lily? Or maybe just give a general?
She wants just a general reading?
She didn't ask anything specific, so yeah, I think that works.
There she goes. She said general?
Yeah, okay.
So let me see.
She's a good reader herself, by the way.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so I've drawn the Knight of Swords and the Queen of Wands. So what it really feels is going on here is you have everything you need in regards to communication, and the big indication is keep moving, to keep going with what you're doing, because knights don't have trailers. Knights don't have storage units. They have everything they need on the horse. So it's very self-sufficient. And with this Knight of Swords card, there's a wand sword going up and down. So it really feels that mind how your connections are rooted in your life and are honest and not a bunch of saying yes when you really want to say not a chance in heck. And then the Queen of Wands comes with it. And she's really – the queens are true leaders. And the Queen of Wands is so in harmony with her energetic, just her energetic alchemy. She understands how to use her energies and use them judiciously and wisely. And I like to think of the asteroid in astrology, Pallas Athena or Minerva. Some people look at her as she's the master strategist, but she would make Mars' warring tendencies look like he's playing checkers to her chess. So I really would give yourself some credit in whatever endeavor you're working with for this general reading in regards to really, instead of jumping in, learn to sit back or just simply sit back and observe, because that natural leadership of the queen, often if she stands beside the king, she may never say anything for years, but she's heard everything. So she's been able to formulate creatively and imaginatively act on her energies when she needs to. I think in closing, with the Knight of Swords and Queen of Wands, I would suggest that keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track, and your communications are going to help you align your energies. Thoughts? She says, I was with a king, now widowed. So let me pull you, you're welcome. Let me pull one more card for you. And I get the Five of Pentacles. And everyone often will look at that card as pain and suffering and sorrow. But I would, if you use the Rider-Waite, or if you use Mysterium, if you have it, Rider-Waite will be a good example. Rather than the hobble and the cripple, and one of them is actually a leper, if you look at what's hanging, I think, around their neck, look at the warm, established inner light through the window. And that's your warm, established inner light. And that's a place for you to enter and to warm you from within. That way your grief and your sorrow are blessings of memories, of gifts, if that makes sense to you. Oh, thank you. I don't have to go back to the pound. She said that I'm a keeper.
Okay, good, 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 good. All right. Well, keeper, we're going to the next one now.
All right.
Okay, we're going to Sherry, and she has a question about a new venture that she's working at.
Excellent. What is the question?
Just wants to know how it's going to pan out, I guess.
And has she started it already, or is do we know, or is it?
I'm assuming a new venture? It's assuming it's in the works or a new venture. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll crack open the geode. I have the Nine of Cups, and I have Judgment. So what I see really here is the Nine of Cups. Emotionally, something is very much fulfilling you. Presently, already. And there does seem to be a need to harness that and make sure that you have that power of voice, that you understand your own identity, and not to make it too complex, I mean, because that's kind of lifelong. So she said, yeah, it's in the works. So I would suggest take one of your feelings, one of your emotions, and see what you can do to make that the heart of the matter of all the other feelings to gather around that. In a sense, make all the other feelings wise counsel to whichever one you find to be a priority in this new venture. And with the Judgment card, there's very definitely a resurrection. So this is the Judgment card to me is actually the true moment after the Tower's dust and crumbling has settled. And what's interesting to me is that the resurrection piece is, it probably came from hard fought and won, maybe trouble even. I'm kind of getting that this is something that's been in the works, planned, and then once it came to being, it's as if it was opened up from out of nowhere. And so in terms of it going good, it feels like it's very fulfilling. And it's going to open you up to really wake up to some new higher octaves, if that resonates.
Okay, good. All right, where are we going here? All right, Henry wants just a general reading. And I think he said this is his first reading ever.
Excellent. Let me shuffle a couple more here through. And his general reading. Interesting. First off, it's two majors. I got the Wheel and Temperance. Wow. So, Henry, the first thing I'll say is this is a very important time in your life. And, oh, to back up, you're welcome. You're welcome, Sherry. I appreciate having the opportunity to read for you. But so with two majors, Henry, this is a really important time in your life. When I find when there are more majors than there are other cards in a reading by proportion, that's usually the first thing that is indicated. What's interesting, the Wheel came first, so it feels like you're at a verge point and in a big cycle where, in a sense, you can see what you've done, you can see what you're looking to do, but in a sense, it's like commencement. And commencement doesn't mean at graduation, for example, when you finish something or bring something to fruition, doesn't mean you're done, doesn't mean you stop, because you literally commence out into the world. You go forward. So it feels like you're stepping up to another place that's stronger for you, because with the Temperance card, you have a mastery here, both the masculine and the feminine sacred sides. Your male being on the right side, your sacred feminine being on your left. But then there's a harmonious aspect of how those exist in you that only you have. So it feels that in this cycle, there may be stepping up the intensity a little bit of how you want to approach things, almost like shifting up a gear in a car when you're racing or driving. With that in mind, you don't make the car looser when you go faster and in a higher gear. You actually consolidate it more with downforce and traction. And I really feel that consolidation here, where you're at a verge point in a cycle. And I would look for what are your most intense, successful, or positive qualities to mix together as you move forward.
Okay, that sounds good. I kind of like that. All right. Okay, we have Tabby. And I'm guessing it's general.
Okay. So for Tabby, go through the cards here again. I like to make sure I shuffle in between readings enough to where I don't having the same cards come up is not a problem, but they're it seems to refresh the deck. It's almost I feel like shuffling to me. A lot of people clean and clear the decks. I don't. To me, I'll shuffle a long time, but to me, shuffling is cleaning the filter and or changing the filter. So with Tabby, we get the King of Wands and the Chariot card. And with the King of Wands, what's interesting about the King of Wands to me, I find him, and I don't have anything to base this on other than this came to me while I was creating the deck. I stuck the Queen of Pentacles in his head, a little micro Queen of Pentacles, because it felt like to have that strong of energies, the King of Wands was really a male version of Kali, and she has so much power, but it's even so much more intense because she braces on Shakti or Shiva, and he's ultimate stillness. So none of her power, there's no peeling out. There's no rubber burning on the tires when she hits the gas. It's all her power. So I feel like your inner, with the King of Wands here, I would say your inner masculine qualities can enhance how you're really putting together your feminine qualities to give them form. And so that they're no less feminine, but they're more identifiable as yours, like signature energies, I would call them. And with the Chariot, that's very much the harmonization of two opposites. I mean, in Jungian depth psychology, it would be called an antiodromia, which is a tendency to something to move toward its opposite or become its opposite. And what's interesting in a car, even the gas is very much not a solid. It's more of a vapor liquid, and it's in these metallic solid things. And of course, then it explodes and it moves the pistons and the car goes. So what's interesting here to me about the Chariot really, in a lot of the older cards, doesn't move. It's like you get Sphinx for the ones who are pulling the Chariot, and it's a big stone pedestal. So in a sense, I would mind, what is your favorite place to sit in your house? And what is your favorite place to sit in nature? And see what meditating simply on your own energies can do for you to further harmonize, and in a sense, brace your energies against a form of stillness that you consciously put forward.
Okay. All right. To keep coming. I'm getting...
You're welcome, Henry. Thank you.
I'm just seeing we've got a break coming up in 2 minutes. Do you want to... Well, we could... Yes. We could do it.
Let's do another one. Well, thing here is I'm operating usually on shows like this so we can get as many people through with something called Turbo Tarot Reading.
There we go.
Hour and a half reading, but you can sometimes get something done in 20 seconds, if not six.
True.
So let's do another one and let's make.
How about Ro? She did send something in private and it came up blank, so I don't know if she has a question, so I'm gonna say let's do general.
Okay. Well, Ro, I got the Five of Cups and I got the Judgment card came up again here. In the context of these though, it's a quite a different alchemy. In my card there's a seagull that's just floating above stormy waters. So in a sense, like an eagle will fly above storms. There's a notion here where I would suggest if you're feeling emotional turbulence or inner storms to not shy away from them. There's an old Malay proverb that trees with strong roots laugh and smile in storms. So I would look for what's the treasure in the trouble. So don't waste trouble. And if you can make a diamond out of that misfortune, I think that would be to your benefit. And then with the Judgment card, I feel like as you don't waste trouble, and try to make a diamond or an inner sapphire, some kind of treasure out of this trouble, like a oyster makes a pearl out of the irritant of a grain of sand, I think it'll bring you to some resurrection and some new ways to see things.
Okay, that was good. Right on time, too.
Excellent. Right.
So now you have a chance to kind of really shuffle for the next 2 minutes, and then we'll get back to the readings, and then we'll get back to some other stuff, too. All right.
Excellent.
Don't go away. There's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages. From Haunted Road Media comes an exciting new novel by author Marla Brooks, Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Two lost souls, ripped apart by murder in another century, find each other again in the present, only to discover that the murderer has followed them through time. Can their love save them, or will history repeat itself? Find out in this captivating new novel by Marla Brooks, Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Available now on Amazon.com and at BarnesandNoble.com.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, perhaps It Takes Two to Tango. Well now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening in to Stirring the Cauldron. I just wanted to give you a quick heads up, if you don't already know, about the free weekly Witch's Oracle Deck readings that I post on my website every Monday. Now, let me answer the age-old question before you ask it, which is, well, how do I know it's for me? And the answer is pretty simple. If you weren't meant to see it, you wouldn't know it was there. So if you're curious about what the week has in store for you, pop on over to marlabrooks.com every Monday and scroll down on the homepage, and there it will be.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Well, that was a quick 2 minutes, but I'm here with my guest, Jordan Hoggard, and we're doing readings, and hopefully we'll get to some chat other than that, but otherwise he'll have to come back, right? Right. Okay. So, okay, the next one is Dave, and he wants a general reading, unless he said you see a black cloud over his head or something, and then you can, you know, elaborate.
Well, if I see a black cloud over your head, then I'll refer you to Morticia, because she can teach really well how to find that those are so beautiful sometimes.
There you go. That's right.
So, but in light of that, and again, I operate on the theory of don't waste trouble and make a diamond out of a misfortune. And it's a way to not waste trouble, literally. And so let me see what we get for you here. And I'm sorry, his name again?
Dave.
Dave, okay. All right, Dave, let's see what we have here. Okay, I get, again, two majors. So it's an important time for you. I get the Strength card, and I got the Tower. And I think what's interesting there together is this is going to be about the ultra importance, the intense importance of you being honest with yourself and with all of your energies and your emotions to see through all the some kind of dust and rubble and some kind of big life event. But it feels like your voice, if you're clear with yourself, is going to sail you right through. I don't want to put the Tower as a dark cloud over your head, because I think coupled with the Strength card, there could be a world-altering, A-L-T-A-R-ing, where things are falling into place if you use your natural inner voice honestly.
Okay. And if I say okay and you're not done, just, you know, jump right in.
Certainly, certainly.
I've just set pause. All right. All right. Kathy wants a general reading, I think. Wait a minute. Just look. Yeah, general is fine. And she said your cards are beautiful. She loves them.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. It's interesting, the theme tonight with cards coming up multiple times, and they're moving all around and still coming right back to the middle. Knight of Swords and Knight of Cups. There's very much a power in how you're moving about, how you're communicating with your emotions. And depending on how you're doing that, I think will determine whether it's in a positive light or a not so positive light. But this Knight of Swords to me here, I'm getting kind of a stormy sky where you've been able to communicate clearly through troubles, and that with the Knight of Cups, there feels to be, it feels like you've had some unconscious connections recently that have become conscious in very, very big ways, and it feels that you're really looking forward to the future as you see through these storms, but it feels like you may be a little bit in a pause point or a plateau, like you're in. I don't want to say the word stuck because I really don't like that word, because that means inaction. And even stillness is action. But it kind of feels like you're in the eye of a storm, like there's something going on, but there's been a lull. And I would just say, mind how your emotions move for you. And when need be, stay in the eye of the storm. There's no reason to hop into the melee or the conflict.
Okay. Shuffle around. We've got Bruce next.
Okay. So, Bruce, I'm getting the Ace of Cups and the Eight of Pentacles. So they're very much surfacing some new feelings in your life that have a lot of room to roam. And they also may be moving pretty fast in a pretty solid way. Eight is a wonderful plateau number. Often indicates speedy qualities. And the reason is you're not going uphill or downhill. So you're not having to put a lot of effort going uphill. You're not having to get in the brakes so much going downhill. But you're free to, you know, have room to roam on a plateau. It's a great place for a frisbee, for example. And at the same time, that frisbee example with the discs, I think may be apt here with your reading with the Ace of Cups, is I would indicate to look for what new feelings have been coming up in you that may be feeling like some of the most natural things you've ever felt in your life. And how can you let those really run? And give them the room to roam, I think, would be the message of the reading.
All right. One more. You need to take a deep breath. We'll talk about something else and we'll come back to it.
Oh, no, I keep psychic scuba gear on, so I don't ever need this. I'll come to a stop point, but not within an hour. So we're good.
Okay. All right. So it's Genzai. And
too many festival readings for you become a marathon runner, basically. All right, another is it Genzai?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Genzai, it's a powerful point in your life as well. Empress came up first, and the Temperance card came up right afterwards, and the Empress is, to me, the Yoniverse, the Gaia, and that from which all emanates. So what is the quality in your life, I would ask, that is where most everything in your life has come from? And with the Temperance card, I would look to then looking at which of those things did you put together? Which of those things did you magically mix? And don't put them at odds, but give yourself the credit to then emphasize what you've put together more to then be able to, like the Empress, have more life come out of you as well. Yeah, that's. I think that's right there. And you put together what you've come to intensely the most in your life, and let that be the magic that creates more things to emanate from you through your actions. And mind you, everybody, when I say action, that sometimes means stillness and meditation, because not everything is. I know the news media keeps us all, you know, trying to go fast, fast, fast. And if you turn on a television and turn the sound off and count, you'll never get to more than 4 seconds before they change the scene. So they're always kind of basically traumatizing you into new. And so I think then with Zentai's reading, that I would go back to the reading and say that where the Temperance card is going to go at its own speed. It's going to react and respond as it does, just like a chemical reaction that will occur when you do it. I mean, if you drop some Mentos and Coke, you better run. And, you know, but if you drop, you know, half and half in your coffee, if you don't run, it's yum. So, I mean, it's just different slow versus fast. So I would really mind your speeds at which you go about things when you're putting things together for your own benefit.
Alrighty. Kat is wondering if you could pull up anything that would help her. She's got two missing cats. Kat has two missing cats, yeah.
Two missing cats.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume lost, missing,
yeah.
Gone.
They got out, so yeah.
I get the Seven of Wands and the Two of Swords, and it's what's striking me is they're both nighttime in these cards. So I would kind of, if when the moon is out, there literally, seems to be six trees or six things in the woods or six pieces of wood that are in a sense a living. But if you look at where is the middle, literally this feels like literally more of a missing persons kind of reading. Literally, like, okay, go look here. Aim, find the six pieces of wood. Did they go out in the backyard or the front yard would be my first question. And then to where they got out from, look to the middle of six pieces of wood and see what that tells you as to where they may have gone and call them from there, because there feels to be, and then Two of Swords, there are four golden pillars in this card that are all the same, but they're all different sizes. And the swords come together, they're all gold, but then the middle one is blue. So it feels like, she says she doesn't know, the door faced out back. And it feels that the communications, the two cats or the two swords here, and that the word I would say would be moved, but not away. I would, if you think they got out the back, the door faced out back, I would, if it's not too cold where you are, every once in a while, just open a window and call. However you call them, whether it's like the brr, brr, kind of purr meow, the burrow kind of meow, or a whistle, or snapping your fingers, or whatever attracts them, and just start to put out. I'm seeing here the Seven of Wands now is put out the good energetic signals of don't sit around and smoke hope and hope they'll come back. Go ahead and stick your hat out and call them for several minutes, and then. Wait, and then go back in, and maybe every 30 minutes if you're at home, just continue to do that, because it feels like they need a message to kind of right their ship, so to speak. And so she says, I've since moved. Yeah, they may have, well, so you did move. So the word moved, I was getting... That makes sense. Sometimes animals, when you move, they don't. They don't have an established place. So I would actually go back and check and see if they went back home and bring them back to their new home. And then don't let them out for a while. And if you do, supervise so they can rehome. Because they may be, if it's not terribly far, they may be over where you used to live. And that is, I think, is what... Yeah, I think they may be over where you used to live or headed that direction. So in a sense, if it's a walkable distance or a bikeable distance, I know it's winter, and it's the weather's not too inclement, maybe even not being so much in the car or taking a slower drive to call to them as you go there so that they can find their way back to you to then find their way back home. Is what I would indicate there.
Okay, good. We don't have a whole lot of time, but we were going to talk about a lot of things. I'm going to throw it over to you for a while, but I want just towards the end, I want you to be able to tell people about the reading special that you're doing and for Stirring the Cauldron. And some other stuff, all the other things that you do. But take five or so minutes, and I'm throwing it to you.
Excellent. So what I just posted a free spread that I came up with on the fly with the Albuquerque Tarot Tribe here several months ago that I thought you guys might want to enjoy. You can please do try this at home. It's not that don't try this at home. That's stuntman stuff. It's the quaternal journey, or the journey of four towards your emperor. And rather than being so technical, it's a 1, 2, 3, 4 cards. And then there's four components of the empress. The different queens all are how the empress energies are expressed in your life through the air, the water, the fire, and the earth. So that's it's a good reading, I think, for an all around to find out your place in the world. And you're welcome, Kat. You're very welcome. And then here I have one of the doodles is what they became. This is on the right. This is how I do astrology charts. It's called Art Your Chart. And this comes from a doodle. And the doodle is you just let your hand go. And you utilize your unconscious. And you work with your unconscious. And then this next one was one previous, and then now a new one. You see the bleed through on the left is basically the previous doodle, not the one in the astrology chart. But what the astrology chart, Art Your Chart doodles for me do is I will tell you a great deal in one image that you can read like an oracle card, but I won't have any words. And as one client has said, she said, "Wow, he told me everything and said nothing." So what I'm doing here with these doodles is the one in the on the below I just posted. I am working a lot with the Eye of Horus and the Eye of Ra, and that's actually the sagittal cross section of the brain with the pineal gland, and which is up towards the front, but the amygdala, and the Eye of Horus is basically the psychic function in the brain, and it looks just like that. Not that one there, but the idea of that, where you can play and you can use your intuition by simply, take a pen, and you can, one exercise is first just draw a straight line, and then draw a line that actually hates straight lines. And then just see where it goes. And keep your hand, the only thing is keep your hand moving. Even if moving is to pick up another crayon or another paint pen or another oil pastel. But then when you get to a point where, okay, it's done, just put down whatever you were doing and just feel into what did you just tell yourself? What did you just draw and literally draw out of yourself? And you can even then divide the paper afterwards into four quadrants. Just draw a vertical line in the middle in your mind and then across the side to side. And quadrant one would be what's here, what's now, what's in your conscious. And on the left top could be then what you're working on, what's coming forward. And then quadrant three would be your bottom left piece, and that's your unconscious. And that's, you know, what's brewing in there for you. And then the one on the bottom right is then how are you putting that into action? What's the status or weather report of your work or of your feelings or even a question you have about yourself or anything like that? And if you see on the astro chart, there's just my chicken scratch that I then basically brought that in that then comes from something, you know, actual chart I pull. But then I don't like it when they just stack everything up. I call it masturbation. Marla was laughing about that. But I'm like, well, that doesn't reflect the geometry. They're all like in the same place. So that's really my newest thing that I'm really up to, dealing with Carl Jung depth psychology panels that I'm working with. And that things like this can happen. Way back when, in 1992, when I found Carl Jung, there's the temple in man. And I would consider the oil painting on the left and the right. The one on the left is called the dive, which was to me the down-going. They're almost doodles. But if you start to look in, you'll start to see faces. And you know, like when you see a tree and you see faces. So that's kind of what I'm up to. Let me put one more image in here and see what we have. This one. This was, I saved the best for last for you, Marla.
There it is. Yes, it is.
And this one, the title was Tears Are Sacred Adornments. And a quote I love is from Bruce Lee is, you can see further through a tear than you can through a telescope. So that to me is where I really work with the don't waste trouble. Don't waste trouble. Because it's when you get to trouble, actually, that's when stuff's really hitting the road. And it really feels like when you work with that, and you allow your emotions and not to be superficial about them. Don't snicker about them. Not a lot of with the nose where it's just nervous laughter or nervous. It's really feel. It's like, oh, I'm terrified. Okay. Okay, I'm actually really afraid. But I would suggest to mind that I find that being afraid is when anxiety hijacks your fear and distorts it and turns it into anxiety, turns it into being afraid. Otherwise, fear is just like the weather report of inside and out, and is it safe to go outside or safe to do something? So this Tears of Sacred Adornments, to me, you know, it's reaching down into your inner waters at the bottom. The roots are growing down, but the tree is you, your brain, your noggin, and that how you see here. The metaphor I would use here, with it looks like the eyes are either looking up or they're closed. But to close your, when meditating, close the two eyes to open the third.
That's, you know, and I mean, you can't be any more obvious than that, because if your two eyes are open, the third one's not going to see anything but what the two eyes are seeing. You have to close the two eyes and let the third eye just delve and open up, and boy, lots of good stuff comes out of that.
Yeah, definitely. And one quote, I don't know who to attribute it to because I think too many people have stolen it, but I like to still use it. And I'll just say it wasn't mine, but I'll use it, is to literally inspect your expectations. I call it yellow car syndrome, because back in 2005, I remember going to buy a car, and I drove in and walked in the showroom, and there's this little bright sunflower yellow Euro trash looking Chevy Aveo. I'm like, I have to have it. I didn't want that. I wanted horsepower, and I wanted six gears, and I got a little zippy
four cylinder
diet GTI Rabbit. You know, I mean, it was zippy, but it wasn't fast. But the yellow just went, wow. I will swear under oath that there were no yellow cars on the road when I drove there.
Except
and when I was
yellow
going
cab
home,
company. Mm.
Well, when I was, yeah, and there weren't even any, I would swear they were all like on sabbatical or something. And And that was kind of pre-Uber. And on the way home, there I must have seen 35 to 40 yellow cars. And what it was, my expectations got inspected because I saw something different. Mm-hmm. And that's like Georgia O'Keeffe. People would ask her, why do you paint your flowers so large? She said, to force people to see. But first they have to look. So I'm asking people to look, and I'm showing them, if you look, this is what you'll see. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest, you know, don't waste trouble, inspect your expectations. And hey, if you've got tears, those are sacred adornments. You know, to me, it's like my favorite astronomy constellation is Orion. And it literally is. But the reason is, too, it's the only one that accessorizes. It's got Orion's belt. So
there you go. All right. We've got like 3 minutes now. And you want to give out your website and tell everybody about the Stirring the Cauldron reading discount thingy and everything else that you can do?
Definitely. I'm putting my website here into the chat. It's basically just jordanhoggart.com, Clarity Through Tarot. And even that picture there, I think that will come up there was, you know, embrace your inner storms. So, and that's what to me readings can be about. They don't always have to be about trouble, but oftentimes they are. It's oftentimes most when we want to have one. And the old joke is poets often don't write when they're happy because they're out throwing a frisbee. So they write with sadness and grief, and that's how we learn a lot. But the special I have going on right now is an hour and a half reading via Zoom. It's usually $135. And I have a link at my recent page post for the show appearance tonight. And those reading, the Stirring the Cauldron reading special would be $90 for an hour and a half reading. And I put a direct PayPal link there. They're in my shop also. And I have a link at this website address as well in the Stirring the Cauldron appearance. But so the Stirring the Cauldron reading special with the basically the friends and family rate is what I'm extending to everybody who's listening in here.
Good, because my chat room are all friends and family. There you go.
Yeah, well, they're
and to each other too. That's the whole thing, you know.
I mean, I've come to the right place.
the chat room family. All right. So what other services do you do? Because there were a couple of things that I forgot.
Yes, the Art Your Chart, the astrology charts that are visual readings where I don't say anything, but I'll need birth time, birthplace, and birth time as close as possible, birthplace and year, obviously. And it takes sometimes 4 days to a couple of weeks. It depends because I sit with them, and I'll steep in your chart. I will look at it. I will hang it up next to me, and I won't say anything, and I won't do anything until I get a sacred geometry hit on it, and then I'll begin to doodle it, like you saw with the previous doodle I put in. That was the first one that happened, and then when it came from a client who had ordered an astrology reading, but she saw my doodles and she said, oh my, stop the presses. Can you do that with my chart? And I'm like, well, I never thought about that. Let's see. Let's just see what happens. So that's my newest business venture, the Art Your Chart. And they're just so fulfilling to do. And I send you an electronic copy, and you can then send it to your local printer if you want a hard copy, which she did, framed it, stuck it right in front of her desk. And it's just such an honor to see what people are doing with these things when they receive them. So astro art charts and readings
and
mostly.
Let's just say that they should head over there and look, because we've got to get the heck out of here right now. So thank you, Jordan. Yeah, they want you to come back, so we'll get you back. No problem. How's that?
Excellent. And thank you all for your accolades in the chat. I so appreciate it. I haven't been able to say thank you to everybody, but thank you very much for all the good love you're sending there. Pretty much appreciated.
Yeah, I got good people in there. All right. So got to go. Blessed be. And merry meet again, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Be ever in your heart. Marry me and marry me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.